We are in a study that actually we'll be looking next week, and then probably taking a break for a couple months through the summertime and come back to later. It's about the life and ministry of Christ. And, we spent most of it in Matthew, but we have felt the freedom to look at other Gospels, and they share things that are not found in Matthew particularly. This morning, I want to look at one of them that's found in the Gospel of Luke. It's about the encounter that Jesus had with a man by the name of Zacchaeus. Now, some of you hearing that name say, okay, I know this story. Especially if you grew up going to Sunday school, you probably heard that story. I know that my grandson, Matthew, Brian's son, I'm not quite sure where he learned it, but one of the songs I've heard him sing more than once is about Zacchaeus, and come to a point where he says, "Zacchaeus, come down," he says very forcefully. I want to encourage you something. It's a little bit like Christmas. You know the story you hear over and over again. It's easy to kind of put it in that category where you go in neutral. And I kind of urge you to just kind of try to mentally set that aside and hear what God is saying. I think he's put some things on my heart that to share with you this morning. Well, here's what Luke tells us in Luke 19. Jesus is entering Jericho. He's on the road to Jerusalem. He's told his disciples that he's going there to die. To die for us. He, of course, also makes it clear that he is going to be raised to life 3 days later. They weren't listening to him, really. They didn't want to listen to that part about dying. Well, Jericho's not too far from Jerusalem. He's getting close. And you get the impression that, well, it says passing through. So, I mean, he was just going to walk through town, keep going. But something happens. It says here in Luke 19:1, he entered Jericho and was passing through. And there was a man called by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and he was rich. Now, if you have much of a background of the Bible, and if you've been with us before, you've certainly heard about tax collectors, know that they were not looked upon fondly. Are tax collectors looked upon fondly today? I think extra much they were not then. But just in case you didn't know, I took John MacArthur's commentary on this, and he shares a background I'd just like to share with you now. Follow along with me. The Roman occupation of Israel involved more than just a military presence. The nation was also subject to Roman taxation. The taxes in Galilee, for example, were forwarded by tax collectors to Herod Antipas, and by him to Rome. Antipas sold tax franchises to the highest bidder. They would auction for these. Highest bidder would get a certain territory. And such franchises were a lucrative business. Tax collectors had a certain amount that they were required to collect. I mean, they had a certain amount they needed. Then, with, of course, anybody who bid for these things and got it wanted to recover what they had. But then, of course, it went further than that. And whatever they collected beyond that, they were permitted to keep. Hey, get as much out of him as you can, type attitude. In addition to the poll tax on everyone, including slaves, income tax, about 1%, and land tax, 1/10 of all grain and 1/5 of all wine and fruit, there were taxes on the transport of goods, letters, produce, using roads, crossing bridges. You almost get a sense you're going to say breathing. And almost anything else the rapacious, greedy minds of the tax collectors could think of. All of that left plenty of room for larceny, extortion, and exploitation, and even loan sharking, as tax collectors loan money at exorbitant rates to those who are unable to pay their taxes. Tax collectors also employed thugs to physically intimidate people into paying and to beat up those who refused. All right. Zacchaeus. Well, Luke tells us He wasn't just a tax collector. He was a chief tax collector. Hey, he was at the top of the pyramid. He was the tax commissioner of a larger area. He had tax collectors under him that he would get a piece of the pie of what they were able to squeeze out of other people. So it's no shock when Luke tells us that he was rich. I'll bet he was rich. I mean, it's kind of like you get in Amway and have all those distributors underneath you, and you can collect what they sell and get it all. Well, this is with tax collecting, and he's got the bucks. But of course, there was something that came with that wealth, with Zacchaeus's profession. He was despised by his fellow Jews. I mean, these were guys who were the lackeys of the oppressors of the Jewish people. These were guys who were sellouts. If you were a tax collector, you were considered a lowlife. That's the title for today's message. A traitor to your people. Tax collectors, it should be no shock, were social outcasts. I mean, the only people that were willing to hang around with tax collectors were other tax collectors or prostitutes, and that cost them money. They were barred from the synagogue. They were considered unclean in the same way a leper was considered unclean. You know, which was probably with bitter humor that the people around him said his name. You know why? The name Zacchaeus means pure, righteous. You know, it's kind of like calling a prostitute chastity. Zacchaeus was probably a guy with a lot of emotional wounds from the rejection of the people around him. He was a guy who had, I'm sure, built plenty of calluses emotionally too in his heart, who had faced rejection ever since he became a tax collector. Luke tells us this, beginning in verse 3. Zacchaeus was trying to see who Jesus was and was unable because of the crowd, for he was small in stature. In other words, he was a short guy. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree in order to see him, see Jesus. For he, Jesus, was about to pass through that way. Did you catch that first line right there? Zacchaeus was trying to see. Now, I would have expected trying to see Jesus. I mean, but frankly, anybody who would say that, would be like, well, the circus parade's going by. You get a glance, you want to see it. But it doesn't just say that, does it? It says Zacchaeus was trying to see who Jesus was. This wasn't just idle curiosity. This was a felt need. The way I picture it, Zacchaeus had heard about Jesus, probably from other tax collectors. I mean, Jesus had a former tax collector as one of his closest disciples. Do you remember what his name was? Matthew. That's right. Maybe Zacchaeus knew him. Well, he wanted to see what's going on. I mean, it changed Matthew. You know, when God does a work in somebody's life and people who know them see it, they go, so many of us to recognize the need for change in our own life. You look at it and you say, I got to check this out. Zacchaeus was drawn to Jesus. Sure, he had wealth, plenty of wealth. But as Jesus had said earlier on another occasion, Luke 9:25, what good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit his very self? There was a hole in Zacchaeus' soul, an emptiness. Is there a hole in your soul this morning? You know, God creates us with a hole. A hole that only He can fill. And you can pour all the things of the world into it that you want, and it will never come close to filling that emptiness, because Jesus is the only one that can fill it. Zacchaeus recognized that he was empty. Well, Zacchaeus also, though, wasn't finding it easy to get a look at Jesus, was he? There was a crowd between him and Jesus. And Zacchaeus, as we're told, was a short guy. I'll bet the people in the crowd wouldn't let him through to see Jesus either. I mean, I've been standing in that crowd. They feel somebody's trying to get past them to look and see Jesus, and they see it's Zacchaeus, and they tighten up all the more. They're not going to help this dirtbag out. Remember, they detested him. But Zacchaeus didn't give up. He figured out where Jesus was headed. Luke tells us he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree so he could get a look at Jesus, as well as better hear what he had to say. You see what I mean about somebody who's obviously feeling a need, a strong need to see who Jesus was? It was more important, obviously, to Zacchaeus to catch sight of Jesus and hear him than it was for him to look distinguished, because you just can't look very respectable and distinguished while you're up a tree. It was worth risking the ridicule of people who saw him up there. Do you want to know more about who Jesus is? How motivated are you? Is it more important to you than the approval of other people? It was for Zacchaeus. This is when Zacchaeus got a real surprise. Verse 5 says, when Zacchaeus came to the place, he looked up. That is, Jesus looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down. For today I must stay at your house. Zacchaeus had climbed that tree to look at Jesus. But once he got up there, he saw that Jesus was looking up at him. I'll bet he was speechless at first. But Jesus wasn't speechless, was he? He said, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for today I must stay at your house. Now, I've looked at that through the years, and it has struck me that if any word were to come up and be a total stranger and say that, you'd think they've got a lot of chutzpah. A lot of nerve. That's kind of presumptuous. What do you mean, come and stay at my house? But of course, this wasn't just any stranger. This was the Messiah. This was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He wanted to come to Zacchaeus' house to spend time with him, with Zacchaeus, the chief tax collector, the despised man in the community. Jesus wanted to be with him. This is what we call a divine appointment. It was a man in need unexpectedly coming face to face with Jesus. It was suddenly realizing that this wasn't a matter of just Zacchaeus searching for the Lord on his own. Actually, this was God working in Zacchaeus' heart so that he was willing to do what he did to find that Jesus was looking to him, wanting to connect with him. You know, that same kind of thing happens with all of us. I know that we will talk about, you know, often we Christians, I've said this, we'll talk about, I found Jesus at this time. But that and there's a truth there. I understand that. You could say Zacchaeus found him, but it gives a false impression that as if Jesus was lost and we found him. This was a matter in each of our case. If we know Jesus, it's because Jesus has reached out to us. As a matter of fact, a verse that had a real impact on me when I gave my life to the Lord was found in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Jesus is speaking. And he says, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him, and he with me." When you realize what just happened with Zacchaeus, you can say, oh, wow, it isn't just Zacchaeus. He's saying that to us. I'm here. I'm knocking on the door. You know, a week or two ago, Jim and Carolyn Jacob and I were in our house for our care group, and they made a comment about these pictures that have been out for years now, and there's quite a few of them, of Jesus knocking on the door. This is a more recent one. And each of them will give a little perspective. I mean, some will make it look like Jesus is right-handed, some is left, or, you know, all kinds of variations of what he's wearing and all those kinds of things and what he looks like in his face. But most all of them, at least all the ones that I've seen, have one thing in common. Jesus is always knocking at a door that has no outside latch for opening it. The latch for opening that door is only on the inside. That's symbolic of a truth. We have to respond. He knocks, but it's our decision that needs to be made. It's us who need to decide we're going to open the door to him. You could say, well, wait a minute, he's God. Can he break it down? Of course he could break it down. As a matter of fact, he could make us do and say anything he would want. But then what would we be? Puppets. He isn't looking for puppets. He's looking for people to be in a love relationship with him. So although he can blast that door down anytime he would want to, he doesn't. He knocks. He knocks on the door of people that have never known him. Actually, if you look at the context of that verse in Revelation, you'll see he even does it at churches of Christians who have ignored him for a long time. He knocks. Will you open up? What did Zacchaeus do? Look at verse 6. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. Zacchaeus came down. He did just what Jesus said. Jesus said, hurry, come on down. I want to go to your house. So he came down at once. And get those words. Zacchaeus welcomed him gladly. Zacchaeus realized that the Messiah didn't think of him the same way his neighbors did, as a dirtbag, a lowlife. Instead of rejecting him like everybody else did, Jesus wanted to get close to him. As a matter of fact, it doesn't say it here, because this is definitely talking about Zacchaeus when it says he welcomed him gladly. But I believe Jesus was very glad too, don't you? When people actually open that door, I don't believe there's any more Betty Mark glad than Jesus is. Why? Why would you care what a dirtbag does? Well, that's because Jesus loves dirtbags. For which all of us should be grateful. He loves us. All right. He's glad. What do you think about that? What do you think about that? That Jesus goes to such a person's house. He draws close. He receives him. I ask that because we're told next, in the very next verse, verse 7, we're told this. The reaction of the people, Zacchaeus' neighbors, the people around him. Verse 7 says, "And when they saw it, they all began to grumble, saying, 'He has gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner.'" You know what's interesting here is that it wasn't just a couple people. I mean, you could have said, "Oh, there's always somebody that's going to complain." Be a pastor, you learn that. There's always somebody who isn't happy with something. But notice it says, how many of them began to grumble? All. They began to grumble. They didn't like seeing the man that they were coming to look at as the Messiah, the Savior, going into the house to eat with and spend time with somebody that they detested as a dirtbag, as a no good so-and-so. See, Zacchaeus was the kind of guy that a lot of them would have walked on the opposite side of the street from, if they could possibly help it. They did not want to come close to him. And here was Jesus coming, and not only entering his home, not only breaking bread with him, but spending the night. You say, where do you get that? Well, actually, this Greek word that's translated guest right here, it literally means overnight guest. What's going on here? What's going on here is that this is what Jesus does. And you know what? When Jesus does this, his people sometimes complain. I mean, I wish I could say that it was just these Jewish people back then that had this kind of attitude. But it's not, folks. There's a lot of us Christians today that in our attitudes and actions toward a growing segment of our American population, that actually the way we are, it looks like this kind of response. Many of us are dismayed at the cultural changes that we see happening in America today. We're disgusted at the moral standards that are different from the way God tells us to live. You say, well, wait a minute, what's wrong with that? Well, actually, there's nothing wrong with that. I hope you're dismayed. I hope you're disgusted with it. The problem comes when we have the attitude toward all the people, toward all of those who are lost and act like it, and have that same attitude that they had back then toward Zacchaeus, looking at him as nothing more than scumbags, as lowlifes to be despised, rejected, and avoided. Years ago, I remember hearing John Wimber share something, founder of the Vineyard. He was a pastor of an associate pastor of a church down in Orange County. It was the late 60s, early 70s. And the Lord gave him an opportunity to reach out to and get quite a response from a segment of society at that point that we called hippies. Now, a lot of people who went to church faithfully did not think of a hippie in anything positive at all. And here, John Wimber is reaching out to these people and inviting them to church. And they're coming. In walk these guys with this long hair and barefoot, for heaven's sakes. When's the last time they had a bath? Couldn't have been very recently. These people are invading our church. They would go and sit right up in the front row, for heaven's sakes. John Wimber says that one morning after this had happened for a little bit, an elderly woman came up to him, shaking her fist, and said, "You've ruined my church!" How could somebody think that way? Well, actually, I don't think that's unique. Especially when you look around you and you see what's happening in society today, it's easy for a Christian who wants to follow the Lord to look at and try, think of, oh, this is, church is my safe haven from all of these undesirables, all these horrible people. I just want to be with people who are the right kind of people. The only thing is, the person you worship keeps inviting them in. He's always reaching out to them. Jesus loves lost people. Do you? Now you could say to me, "Cliff, talk is cheap." There are people who say that they're Christians, that they're followers of Jesus, but they never seem to follow. There are people who, while they say they're Christians, blatantly live lives that are totally contrary from what the Lord tells us to do. Cliff, are you saying that's okay? And of course I don't say that, and Jesus didn't say that. What I'm saying is, we have a way of throwing out the baby with the bathwater, don't we? If somebody doesn't look the way we think they should look or have the background, talk the way we think they should talk, we throw them all out and say they're nothing but scum. But in the process, we turn away from people like Zacchaeus, people that Jesus reaches out to. Zacchaeus was not a guy who just talked the talk. Look at what the very next verse says. Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, half of my possessions I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything," and of course, he was a tax collector. Of course, he defrauded plenty of people. "If I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will give back four times as much." You know what we call that? Putting your money where your mouth is. He wasn't just talking the talk. He made it very clear he was setting his heart on walking the walk. He didn't stop at just calling Jesus Savior. He was ready to obey him as Lord. So let me make real clear to you, if you're somebody who is lost and you want to reach out, you want to respond to Jesus, of course, he receives you just where you are at. He loves you just as you are right now. It's true. But for heaven's sakes, he doesn't want you to stay there. What he calls for us is to turn to him and let him bring changes in our life. Does that happen overnight? No, I don't think it happened to Zacchaeus overnight. I'll bet Zacchaeus had to change the way he talked, had to change a lot of bad habits over time. It took time. But if this is any indication, he meant business. And over time, he changed. You know, sometimes I think when somebody we've seen wrong and not having done what's right, they want to get it right. And if we'll see one little screw up, one little place they slip, we'll say, "See, you didn't mean it. It doesn't count." And I'd say, "Oh, come on. This is the real world." You can sincerely in your heart say, "I want to do what's right and follow the Lord." That doesn't mean you're going to be perfect immediately or any time this side of heaven, frankly. But you do have to be somebody who chooses to own up to where you're at and change. Amen? That's what Zacchaeus did. And I notice Jesus doesn't say, okay, Zacchaeus, well, we'll see. Let's see what you do. He doesn't do that. Look at what Jesus says in the very next verse, verse 9. And Jesus said to him, today, salvation has come to this house. Because he too is a son of Abraham. Okay, you tell me. Did Jesus regard Zacchaeus as somebody who was saved? Yes, of course he did. But he said something that, see, because we're not Jews living back then, this wouldn't resonate with us as much. When he says he too is a son of Abraham, remember, Zacchaeus wasn't even considered a fellow Jew. They wouldn't allow him in the synagogue. And what Jesus is saying is, Zacchaeus is now one of my people. He is now one of my people. Can you imagine what that would mean to Zacchaeus as a Jew? The people in Jericho, they weren't buying it. They weren't accepting him, but Jesus was. Have you given your life to the Lord? If you've genuinely done that, you're the same. The Lord has changed who you are. As a matter of fact, there's a song we used to sing here I've been reminded of recently. Joanne mentioned it to me. I'd forgotten about it. I'm going to ask the sound room to play it while I put the words to it. Follow the words of this song. If you know it, feel free to sing it. Didn't that say it? You know, I noticed something. The Lord changes our name. This list of beautiful things that he changes us to. I don't see the word perfection in there. There is an instant perfection. What there is we come to have a confidence, not in ourselves, but in the Lord. Joy. Because of him, we become overcoming once. Because there's stuff that still needs to be overcome. He makes us someone who becomes more and more faithful to him. Isn't that beautiful? Become a friend of God. You know, it kind of strikes me that there are people in my life that if you were to come and badmouth, you could expect me to say, you know, don't talk like that. That person's a friend of mine. That's what Jesus feels about you and me, brothers and sisters. One who seeks my face. You could come into this room where the description up here is you. But in giving your life to the Lord, you could leave this room that these words. You say, really? I mean, God can change somebody from being just a dirtbag to being this? All one morning? Yes, he can. Like he said, not perfection, but that's what he does. Aren't you glad? Paul put it this way, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. Hey, this is what the Lord does. Do you need the Lord to change you? Call out to him. He will embrace you and change you just like he did Zacchaeus. Because that's who he is and what he does. See what he says in the very next verse, verse 10? He says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Aren't you glad that Jesus still does this today? Well, aren't you? Yeah. Well, frankly, folks, you should, because we have all of this in common. Every single one of us is a lowlife in one way or another. We've been it, that is. God takes lowlives and turns them into people who are holy, set aside for Him. Interesting that once He does that, He has a call to us. He says, now I call you to reach out to lost people, to love them. Yes, call them to change, because they need to change. But love them enough to reach out to them. Don't stand back and call them dirtbags. That's what He does. Let's go to Him. Lord, if there's anybody here that has never given their life to You, they don't know what You can do in a life. Lord, I pray that they'll hear You knocking on the door of their heart. And they'll open the door. Ask You to come in and change them. Wash them clean. And give them a new start, just like You did Zacchaeus that day. Lord, for those of us who have done that, please forgive us for our judgmental attitude toward others. And Lord, I pray that You will use us as people who represent You in seeking out to those who need You so desperately and calling them to You. Yes, speaking the truth, but doing it in love. Thank You, Lord. Let's stand. Let's worship the Lord.
Lord, we need and want You. We thank You that You are here, present, Lord, giving Yourself so freely to us. We need You. Come through for us, Lord. Thank You.
If you're not sure that you're in this relationship, that you have this new name, I'd be delighted to share with you how you can. Nobody needs to leave here with a lousy name. Nobody. Receive this blessing from the Lord. And now may the Lord work in your heart, drawing you close to Him. May He fill you with His presence as your treasure, your light. May He change the way you look at yourself to someone who puts their confidence in Him and loves and appreciates Him. And may one of the fruits of that be His heart toward lost people. I bless you with this now in the name of Jesus Christ. And if you receive it, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Keep cool.